I want you to turn to somebody right now. Don't care which direction they are. Tell them, God is good.
God is good.
Now, find somebody else and tell them, God is good.
God is good.
Amen. Now, I will tell you what I loved that just took place. I did not hear all the time. Because I didn't tell you to say God is good all the time. You're listening. It's important for us to understand that when we add what we think God says, he didn't say that. How many times have we done that in a word? We take something out of context. Just a little bit of an exercise, but you spoke the truth. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I debated on when to do it, but praise God, nobody did it. Hallelujah. I was going to have to wait a couple weeks. So I can tell you it was an exercise. Oh, praise God. Well, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Please be in prayer for hearts all over our nation to stand for the precious holy gift of life as a reminder of the important ministry of the Heartbeat of Morrow County provides for our community, as well as information you can pass along to friends or family. We have pens and brochures on the back here at the table, and greeters were handing them out earlier. Please help yourself to them. And also to remember, keep praying for this ministry. It serves a vital purpose. Okay? Listen, life is precious. And when we turn our back on life, there's a problem in our hearts. Also, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, another important prayer point. The enemy is seeking right now to divide this country, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. We need to be in prayer. Pray for peace. Not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of the United States. We need peace. And only God's going to bring the true healing that we need. Also, this Wednesday, January 20th, newsletter information is due. Another good day to be praying. Also, thank you for helping to start the services on time. This really helps us on the online because people go to the thing to look at 10:30. Oh, they aren't there yet. They said 10:30, not 10:40. 10:30, we are able to start on time. So praise God. Thank you for when music starts, you start getting to your seats and everything. Also, Compassion Cafe is not next Sunday. It is on the 31st. We apologize for putting the wrong date in the newsletter. So, there you have it. And if you don't know how we do our tithe and offering, we bring it up during praise and worship because it's a part of our worship. It's not just something we do, it is a part of who we are. So, you know, if you've seen people walking up here and putting envelopes in, or little kids, it tickles me to see them. They know how to do that. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you are, for who you are. Lord, we thank you to be called your children. We are grateful. We are humbled by that, Father, because we are undeserving because of the fall of Adam. But you made the way through Jesus Christ. You sent one son so that you may have many children. And Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. We bless it. Father, it is an honor to you. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Well, praise God. Oh. I hate swallowing down the wrong hole. Especially since last year. Because I do it often. And the second you do that, all eyes, laser beams protruding, everything. Well, praise God. You know, I applaud you. You're here today. We have some who couldn't be here today. I get it. That's why we have the Facebook Live. Do you know, I mean, there's been several. We've had to pray for people this week. A lot of you went through some stuff. And you got back up. And you fought on. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Lord raises a standard against him. The standard doesn't move. If you've ever known, particularly in the 1933 Olympics, anybody know where I'm going? You probably, if you've ever watched as the world is passing before Adolf Hitler, they all dip their flags, except one. That one. It did not dip. We did not bow to Hitler. The country does not bow to terrorists. The country does not bow to anyone but to God. The problem we have today is our country's not bowing to God. We're bowing to everything but God. And the Lord began stirring in me about trust. Right now, we have people all on every spectrum of conspiracies. I do, personally, there's some of them I believe. I'm like, yeah, there's some things that aren't lining up. Two and two, I mean, math was not my easiest subject, but I did learn 2 + 2 does equal 4, unless you're in algebra. Then it comes up to A. But in all of that, things aren't lining up. But the problem is right now, people are getting their faith, their trust on the wrong things. Whatever happens the 20th, it was destined to happen. We need to understand something. God has sent his word centuries before any of us were even thought of to tell us, things are going to happen. You're not going to like them. And God has been stirring in me to get people to walk closer to him, to get to know who he is. You need to know who God is when you're in the middle of the woods and you don't know where you're at. When you're stuck in life and you don't know which way to go. Anybody ever been there? God, I got a decision. Where do I go? What do I do? And then the day comes and you got to make a decision. Jump. You've got to jump in one direction. And you have to trust that God has led you. And God has been stirring in me that this year, we're going to have to trust him even more. I do not believe this country will ever be the same. I think that ship has sailed. It saddens me to a degree. If it wakes the body of Christ up to start serving God, to start leading people to God and showing people who God is, that God's not a business. That's the aspect of church that I hate. We have to be a corporation. We have to do this. We have to do that because of business. Now, I get why there are certain things that they've put in place. I do. There's unscrupulous people all over the place. The body of Christ is no exception. The Mayflower, everybody thinks it was all pilgrims that came across on the Mayflower. It was anybody that could pay for a ticket. And anybody that typically was leaving England were criminals. Even the pilgrims, they were leaving because their belief was illegal. And they said, we're going to go to the New World where they can't harm us. But on that ship, there were people who had other plans. And in every organization, anywhere and everywhere, there's always people. But in the body of Christ, that should not be so. We should be putting our trust in God. Listen, if we put our trust in our money, I don't even know what the name of the guy is, who locked himself out of his own Bitcoin account and lost $280 million. That's one password I'd have never lost. It would have been tattooed right there. Because just like that, our wealth can go away. They can take anything they want. You need to understand that. History does repeat itself regularly. And when tyrants get in place, they want to rule. However, God's people were sent here to not let that happen. Well, we're going to rise up and fight. Oh, please, please, put your guns down. I love the Second Amendment as the next person, okay? I got my guns, got my beliefs. But my guns ain't going to save me. I've only got so many guns. I've only got so many rounds. And I've only got me and my family. They ain't nothing for 1,000 warriors. They ain't nothing. But you know, I like to think that I'm like Elisha. And when they were surrounded, he looked to his servant and he said, "Look out and tell me, what do you see?" "Well, I see all them people." "Now, tell me, look out and tell me what you see." He said, "I see people surrounding them." We are surrounded by God's army. And only God is going to be able to do this. We may have to be like, sometimes get kind of like Chesty Puller did at the Chosin Reservoir in Korea. Marines were surrounded. They were surrounded. He said, "We got the Chinese this way, we got the Chinese that way, and Chinese that way." And they were nothing more than a battalion, which is about 1,000 Marines. He said, "We got them where we want them. They can't get away." You do know that the Chinese weren't saying that, right? Well, actually, they were saying the exact same thing. "We got them right where we want. They're in a bowl." But do you know what that battle's known for? Not for the Chinese winning. It was for the people who fought their way out of it. We have to be kind of like that. That we're surrounded on the left and the right by people who want to harm us. But we have to trust in the Lord our God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." When I woke up this morning, there's actually a song called "More Power to You." Petra originally did it, and then Tim McGraw sang it. And this is in there. And this song was just going over and over and over and over. I mean, I cannot tell you. It's what I woke up, and this is what's going through my spirit. This song, "Trust in the Lord." That means you put everything in God. But here's how it helps us to understand exactly what it's talking about. It says, "And lean not on your own understanding." Why would I lean? Because you don't know. Anybody ever had to spend some time on crutches? You were trusting that them crutches were going to hold you up, were you not? And that's what it means to lean. It means to hold on, use a crutch. Some people just use one. When you got a cast all the way up to your thigh, you learn to use both. And so I would go, and inevitably, I broke my leg both times during the winter months. That's miserable. And back then, it actually snowed. And I'd get on the bus, I'd have to hop through the snow because I had a plaster cast, not a fiberglass one. And so the bottom of my cast was always soggy. And I'd get on the bus, and inevitably, they didn't have kneeling buses. And I'd have to hop up onto the one step and then try to push myself. And those crutches would always go sideways. I just learned to hold on to them and hop. I had a lot of muscle in that left leg for a couple months. But I had to learn to put some faith in those things. They were bad. They couldn't handle the life. But that's why it tells us to trust in God, not our own understanding, not our minuscule understanding of the universe. See, Christians have been doing this for thousands of years now. Oh, no, 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 no. This is how it happened. God is a scientist. He's a creator. There's a process. By the way, this is why science actually proves there's a God, because it's order. Science is not chaos. So I don't know why these wackadoodle scientists say, "Well, there's no God. This just happens." You can mix. I mean, I never got to take chemistry. I did not want the F. And I didn't want to get kicked out of school for blowing up the chem lab. So, but that's just what happens. You mix the wrong chemicals, boom! Or you mix too much of one chemical, you got a different reaction than what you were expecting. You no longer have eyebrows. And this is what it means. Do not lean on our own. Our own understanding is short. It's this. I praise God that we now have telescopes that can see. The amount of miles away just blows your mind how far away these things are picking up signals. They just watched a universe die. A universe. And they're watching another one being birthed. Well, that just proves what science says. No, it proves what God said. He created. He started the process of creation. Our planet has to be tilted. And a massive earthquake kind of changed it a little bit. But if we were closer to the sun, well, we wouldn't be here. And if we were just a hair bit further the other way, we wouldn't be here. I'd rather be hot than cold, personally. So life couldn't exist except that it's right where it is. So when we have to try to figure out our own understanding of things, we have to go to somebody else. The other day I had heard brake lights kept coming on. I'm like, why? It just needs adjustment. You know, anybody that's worked on a car, you know there's a little switch and you got a little screw and you adjust the switch up and down. That's gone. Nothing is adjustment. I looked at it, I'm like, how does this work? I ended up buying a new switch thinking the switch was bad. Broke that switch, put the old one back on, and then found out you have to take it to where they have a computer to reset the zero. There is no adjustment anymore. It's an automatic thing on a computer. The day of easy things is done. My understanding went to here. Now it's up a little bit higher, and I paid somebody to do it. Because I'm not buying the tool to do that. Not worth it. So we have got to learn to put our full trust in God. That's everything about us. Our family. If you've been around here for a minute, you've heard me say you've got to put your family in God's hands. That doesn't mean the thoughts aren't going to come up. It means you have to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is, he said, if you give them to me, I will keep them. If you give them to me. You've got to give your family to God. Otherwise, the devil has a strong. How many times have you watched a movie and they can't figure out how to get this guy? Then they find that one person in his life that he cared about. And they go after that person. And the game changes. Now, if it's Liam Neeson, you're in trouble. That's all I got to say. I don't care how old the guy gets. He just gets meaner. But you're going to have to put your trust in God in everything. What am I going to eat? Don't worry about why do you think Matthew 6 told us, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Don't you know your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things? And then he said in 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's the problem. What I just told you before I started here, I had you say, God is good. Here's what we've done. We've taken 6:33 and we've put it into, you're going to be wealthy beyond all measure. That's not what it says. It says, seek first God. Don't be seeking, God, how do I get rich? Riches lead you away. God. Once you have God as your source, God as your first and foremost on your mind, and you understand the riches, it's easy to get hold on to your money. It's easy to, if I give more than I should, then I won't have enough. You do realize your bank accounts could be zeroed today. You don't have gold. You have the promise of a government that has lied to its own people for 200 years. Think I'm kidding? Ask Native Americans. And then they marched them out west. We know that is the Trail of Tears. They weren't doing anything. We just didn't like them. They were savages. Again, another problem with the church. You don't go in and kill people because they don't agree with the way you believe. You aren't going to win people to Jesus Christ by killing them like that. Well, you're a savage. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to do business with you. You're black. You're white. You're green. You're purple. You're Scottish. You're Irish. You're English. You're German. You're Japanese. You're Mexican. You're Swiss. Whatever your ethnic background is. How stupid are we? We all came from Adam. Every last one of us. We all came from Adam. And Eve. All right. Psalm chapter 22. Or as you were, Proverbs. I'm sorry. I was out of order. Proverbs chapter 22. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth. That you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. What's God wanting to do? He's wanting to give us truth. But we've got to incline. That means lean, tilt. We have got to take away attention from the things over here and turn them to the things of God. If we don't turn them to the things of God, the things over here are going to tell us what their version of truth is. We all have a version of our own truth. Justin and I were talking this morning. We were talking about some basketball games. We were listening to the commentary. And, you know, we wonder why sometimes why officials don't call a holding penalty or why they, you know, why they didn't do this. See, in the stands, you have one view. And I said, I did not get this until I was working the chain gang one time. And I'd always sit up there and I could watch the game, like, woo, get up higher. You could see the whole field. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to experience a game, be on the chain gang and don't go to sleep. You might get plowed over. But on the chain gang, you're sitting there and you are looking right down the line of scrimmage. You see a whole different game. You've got a different angle, a different view on the game. And you see, well, yeah, that was a hold, but there was also a hold on the other team over here, so we just canceled it out. Now, if they're being blatant, by all means, get them out. And then there's sometimes they were looking somewhere else. But the truth of the matter is, it's our perspective on how we're seeing things. And if we're not using God's word as that illuminary, see, David said, your word is a light unto my feet. If we're not using that to walk in a dark and dying world, what are we using? We're using our own understanding. And if our understanding is not based on the word of God, to which then we're leaning on the word of God and not our own just comprehension of it, we're going to fall if it's not God. We're not going to see the ice on the bottom of our own little crutch. But yet, God, his word never picks up garbage. His word is truth. And that is why I just read you 5 verses here. Why? I could have read the one verse. Because there's one thing that after all those years in English class, context matters. Context of a conversation matters. And if we take the Word of God out of context, we can twist it. I've seen people twist the Word of God to make people servants. I don't want servants. Jesus didn't want servants. He wanted friends. That's why in John chapter 15 said, I no longer call you servants, but my friends, because my friends do what I say. This is Jesus. Okay, you're not my friend because you do what I say. Are you comprehending what I'm saying? He said that. He's Messiah. I am not. But he didn't want servants. The word tells us that he was sown so that there may be a harvest of children to God. He was looking for siblings. He was an only child. I don't know anything about that. I was the oldest of five. I was the only child for 4 years. Kind of gets a little boring after time, but you get in a lot more trouble when there's more kids. I will tell you that. Now, Psalm chapter 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Pause. That one right there is twisted so much anymore. It's not funny. Well, if you delight yourself in the Lord, nobody focuses on the word delight. They think it just means, well, if you say you serve God, then he'll take care of you. It says delight. Make merry. Enjoy God. Get to know God. When you get to know God, you have a reason to rejoice because God's not a tyrant waiting to beat you with a stick. And you know why that is? It's because Jesus was beaten for you. And he's standing. His blood is ever present now on the altar. And it says, I've been there. I know how they have fallen. And I know what they're going to do, what they did. Help them, Father. And you have to cry out for help. If you don't cry out for help, you're lost. You just don't know where to go. But when you cry out to God, he's there. He's there with arms open wide to receive you in. But if you want the desires of your heart, he's not just going to say, oh, you know, Art, you know, you're wanting a Ferrari 458. Well, yeah, God, I wouldn't kick it out of my driveway. It might not make it up my driveway, but I wouldn't kick it out. But Art, can you handle it? Not the power, the car. Sitting still. I've told you before, I grew up, my dad's first car when I was alive, came to this earth, was a 66 Mustang. I always wanted a Mustang. And I tried and tried and tried hard to get a Mustang. I finally got a Mustang, but I was 32 or 33 years old. And God gave it to me at that time. Because I was finally to a point where I could handle without being stupid. Anybody remember being young and dumb? Yeah. I was getting ready to say, I might still be slightly on that dumb side, but I still do dumb things. But back then, I'd have really been stupid. God gave it to me at a time that I got to see, okay, totally impractical. Ride like go-karts. Lots of power. Slick on ice. We were coming from Lima to Canton on 309, and just outside of Lima, there was black ice on the road. You had to go so slow, but the wind was blowing so hard because there's no barriers out that, on that side, that it was literally blowing our car, moving at about 2 miles an hour sideways across the road. Thank God we got to a point where there was some, the wind was blocked. Because we were barely moving and it was blowing the car. I still love Mustangs. Don't get me wrong. I don't have to have it now. I just don't have to have it. Back then, that's all I dreamed about. I drew pictures of Mustangs every day. It's not a desire of my heart anymore. My desires have changed. My desires are that my children grow up and they know God. My desires are that my children have what they need. My desires are that my friends have what they need. My desires are that I'm pleasing God. See, Joshua said one time, he said, "Dad, don't worry about how you're going to do this." He said, "It just comes." Well, it didn't just come. It came because I was delighting myself. I found my joy in God, not in things. See, people will think things. Motorcycles won't fill your heart. Four-wheelers won't fill your heart. Boats won't fill your heart. Nothing can fill that space that belongs to God. And if there's anything in it, God is a jealous God. We need to understand this. You want to find somebody mean, you find a jealous husband. It's miserable for the wife. She can't have a life. But God's not like that. He's like, "I don't want the things to have you. If you have me, I will bless you." I don't need to think about what I've got and what I don't got. God is continually moving, and he brings what I need when I need it. This fall I shared with you how I got a tractor finally. It's a real tractor. It can plow. But I'd looked. And I've been spending years looking at tractors with loaders because I wanted a tractor with a loader. And all of a sudden, this tractor in Fredericktown shows up. It's ugly. But I don't need it for its looks. Then next thing I know, there's a sold online. I'm like, evidently that wasn't my tractor. I came across another tractor. It's in my barn because God made it happen. It all worked out to my good. See, that's how God does it. Okay, next. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as noonday. I'm going to stop right there. Go back to that real quick, Jason. It says justice. Righteousness and justice. He's going to bring forth justice. We're all screaming for justice. We are. We need justice in this country. And I told you a while back, it ain't going to happen yet. If Hillary was going to be arrested, it would have already happened, exactly. But it's coming. I don't care what your thoughts are on her as a person. What she did was illegal. But there's a lot of congressmen who are going to go with her. But there's a lot of powerful people keeping her out. And God has sent us this word. This is why I believe God sent us this word, was to know that even though there's evil happening right now, justice is going to come. And it's going to be bright as the noonday. Next. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this scripture was written for such a time as this. It's not the first time in history, but it's a very volatile time in history. Does that meek shall inherit the earth sound familiar? pretty sure that it was in the Sermon on the Mount. See how it's all coming back? Jesus taught us in a matter of a couple chapters the entire Bible. Because the meek aren't those who are timid and afraid. The meek are those who are resting in God and they're waiting. It takes more strength to be meek than it does to be a hothead. What we saw last week was unfortunate in this country. We saw a handful of people who were insiders got in there and they got hold of the right people who were fired up. And then I believe there's people that just kind of got sucked in with the flow, but there's really only a handful of people. There were thousands and thousands of people. If they really wanted to take it, the whole thing would have moved. But there were people that knew this is not the way to do it. And those people, by the way, are being brought. They're being arrested and charged and all that. Besides that, I don't want some guy dressed as a red, white, and blue buffalo representing me. Especially when he's got raccoon tails. I don't think he understands raccoons don't have horns. They're mean, but they ain't. They don't have horns. But anyhow, we're looking at a time when we're trying to get, we want God to move in this country. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, hold to God's truth. Do not put your faith in anything but God. Whatever happens is because God has ordained it to happen. Well, this is evil. God has lifted merely his hand to let the devil play right into it. You need to understand, things are happening. I don't care who says what. I'm not getting my panties in a wad over the fact that somebody said this. Hey, I'm just going to hang out. What's going to happen is going to happen because, let's see, Revelation says that the world will be under the control. The world. Not oil, it's just the world that was known at the time. No. If that's the case, then nothing affects the Western Hemisphere. To our knowledge, nobody knew anything. Oh, wait a minute. Except for the fact that they're finding ancient Hebrew writings in caves in America. And they believe Solomon had sent, anybody ever heard of the Lost Tribe? He had sent people out. Which, by the way, the legend is that the Cherokee were part of that Lost Tribe because their beliefs are very much the same. Their writings are very much the same. There are landmarks all over this world that mention Solomon. So guess what? The Western Hemisphere was known. Now, if there's somebody rising up that God's going to use, praise God. Let's pray. Let's not get our gut tore up over it. It only causes harm. Isn't that what the word just said? Fret only causes harm. There's a way to do this, and we have to make sure. Listen, we have to make sure on this level, right here, that we have good people elected. There are people who say, well, I have nobody to vote for. I'm not voting. I don't like any of them. It ain't about a personality contest. Honestly, if you really got to know me, you may not like me. You might. I don't know. But it's not about whether you like somebody. It's about whether or not they can do the job. Can they do the job good? Can they do the job right? That's what we need. So you got to make sure you're putting good people here on your village councils, on any council that you have to vote for. Commissioners, judges. Judges, if you haven't figured out, are vitally important. And all the way up. And once we start putting those in place and we put people who have listened to God. There was one man I'd met. He held a position of power. And a lot of people didn't like him. Some of them knew him. And I could see how he could be a bit of a jerk. But in that meeting, I heard the man give testimony that God saved his life. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, listen, don't put a preacher in that position unless God has appointed him to be in that position. So honestly, it's more important to preach the word than it is for a preacher to be running for a political position, in my opinion. Okay, I'll tell you what is my opinion, and that's my opinion. Because people need to hear. I would rather be able to tell you what God says, and you go, and you make the votes. Or you say, hey, you know what? I'm running for school board. We need good people on the school boards. People who know how to spend the money rightly. We need that. We need to be people to stand up for what's right. Period. Well, you know, that goes against what my great-great-grandpappy taught me. Your great-great-grandpappy is gone. The world he knew is long gone. It doesn't function that way anymore. I mean, remember there was a day in life we used to go to the library and we'd go find our Dewey Decimal card, our little card, pull it out of there. Oh, then we'd go find the book. And then you'd find the book, then you had to go either sit down and read the book, or you'd go and you'd check the book out. Today, what do? Google, look up, and it'll bring you anything. Some things you don't want to know. But it can bring you all this. The world has changed. There was a time in life, you know, this is, we've been sitting in amazed at how things have changed so much in the last even 20 years. But in 30 years, you know, we used to have to write letters. Y'all remember what those are? We would write 3 to 4 letters a week to each other. And it would take a week for them to get to their destination. And then another week for a reply. Well, couldn't you call? Well, yeah, I could call, but it cost me $2 a minute. And I made maybe $1,000 a month before taxes. So, yeah, I couldn't do that very often. Do you know, we got cell phones. You can text message. You can get emails. You can do all that stuff instantly. Oh, by the way, you could still call. That was the one thing I missed when I went to Ukraine several years ago with Pastor Bob. His plan was he could go to other countries. It was international. My plan was not. I could go to Canada, maybe Mexico. But once I left those areas, I was on my own. And so those 10 days, I'm like, I hadn't been away from her for that long, in a very long time. So that was rough. And he said, here, call your wife, talk to her for a few minutes. And it was great. The world has changed. Everything is changing. Some things are good, some things maybe not so good. But we can't sit and fret about them. The only thing that does not change is God and His Word. So we have to comprehend the Word. We have to spend time reading. And listen, don't get on everybody says, you got to read the whole Bible. Start letting the Word seep in. I found for me personally, it was better to read a couple verses and sit and let that work in me. God, how does that apply to my life? What did you mean? And God has usually given me the answer. And if He didn't, I figured it wasn't for that time yet. I didn't sit and stew over it because it becomes a stopping block. And when we don't comprehend something, we think, well, I'm just too dumb. You're not dumb. It's not time. That would be like Joshua trying to teach Carter. I'm trying to figure out something. That kid is actually pretty smart. He knows how to start the tractors. He knows where the throttles are, and he knows how to steer. His legs just ain't long enough to hit the things, but he's been able to do that. He knows how to get to the stuff that's on the top shelf. He knows he can climb the handles. Yeah. Oh, he also knows how to run the remotes. He is 2.5. There's adults that still don't know about their remotes. I've got mine memorized. I can sit there, oh, yep, skip all the commercials. But, okay, it'd be like trying to teach Carter at 2 and a half how to have patience to fish. It's not time yet. 2 and a half, you've got the attention span of a grasshopper. Doing, oh, I'm here, doing, I'm there. It ain't worth it. But you give him 5 or 6 years old, he'll start settling down a little bit and start getting it. He's still going to want to go. Maybe hook himself. Or better yet, hook you. But it's a comprehension. It's a growing thing. You have to grow to comprehend. If you've been stalemated, that's a problem. You're stuck here because I didn't get it. It ain't time. I ain't gonna lie, I still have issues with fishing. If they ain't biting, I'm like, hey, woo! There's food right there. I know, I can see it. Why aren't you biting? That's why I figured I need a boat, because then I can move. Well, they're not biting over there either. Well, at least I'm moving. That's my thought process on it. So don't get worried that you didn't get the full comprehension of that. All right, God, not for now. Now let's go here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God will start working on the inside out so that you can get the word in you. We don't want to be like the priests of old who merely had the word on the outside of them. See, they had the scripture. It was actually on them. They wore scripture on them. They didn't get it. It doesn't mean nothing, but David did. The man who wasn't allowed to read the word. What he heard the high priest reading, he held on to. And now things that David wrote, a king who is guilty of adultery, guilty of murder, guilty of having the heart after God. He found God's mercy in a time of law. He found the word. He said, it lights up my path and it guides my feet. We're in dark times, ladies and gentlemen, and if you do not have word, you've got to get in your Bible. Sit down and read it. Don't try to read cover to cover. It's not a novel that you need to do that with, because there's things just like this. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know what other book this is in, right? It's not even the same testament. As a matter of fact, it's about 1,400 years later that the Son of God says, the meek shall inherit the earth. So take that. Trust in God. You have to trust in God and not on your understanding. If you don't get it, okay. I don't get it, God, but I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to hold on and trust you, and you're going to lead me and you're going to guide me. That's how we trust God. Hey, listen, there's a lot of stuff about science I don't fully comprehend. I will trust that the scientists are saying, yeah, that's how it works. I honestly don't get splitting atoms. I mean, you can't see the things anyhow. How the heck can you split it? Don't know. But the atomic bomb says that they did it. Nuclear power says they do it. And it works. There are some things I've just come to the conclusion, there's things people are smarter than me in, and I don't care to know. That's why they have their jobs. All right, let's stand. I want you to take these words to trust in God, keep them with you. There's going to be things God's going to say, I need you to trust me. I just need you to trust me. I know what I'm doing. We can watch all the great shows. We just got to put trust in something beyond us. And if you can't trust God, I feel sorry for you. Your life will be miserable. But you have to come to the end of your rope. It's where I had to come. God, I don't get it. Why does it seem like they always prosper? They don't. They don't. There's things that have happened to people that you don't know about. People that hurt you. People that wronged you. God doesn't turn a blind eye. He gives them a chance to repent. Don't you? Aren't you glad that he does that? I thank God he gives me the chance to repent when I've messed up. He gives us a chance to repent, but our arrogance will keep us from that. Because, well, God, you know, I'm justified. And you ain't ever justified. You're never justified in your opinion. You're justified in God's word. God's word alone justifies you. God, I'll stay right here. I'm going to stay in your word. If you wonder why I keep looking down, there's a line in the carpet there because it squares. I look at that and I see I'm over here. I'm not over there. That's me. This is God. There we have it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come to you as your children. Father, we're asking for your understanding. Father, we need you. Father, we want to know you. We want closer to you. Father, I pray right now that each and every person that is truly seeking you, Father, that they will take your word. And Father, that the word that they can't comprehend right now because it's more meat than they can handle, Father, that they will just hold off and they'll go to something that they can, that you'll lead them to something that they need right now to be able to handle that meat. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're leading us through your word. Father, you're leading us through this time. Father, we do continue to pray. We pray for peace on the 20th. We pray peace across this country. Father, that all these troops that are being sent to Washington, D.C. are for nothing. An exercise in futility. Father, that the peace will rise up. Father, that no matter what is coming down, we're going to trust in you. Father, we serve you. We do not serve the United States government. It serves us. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now. Father, your peace is resting on your people here and at the sound of my voice online. Father, that we're going to not fret, but we will lean on you completely. You are our crutch. You are holding us up. Father, we need you. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I pray that as their comprehension is growing, Father, that their joy will come, their joy will remain, Father, that even though that there's things they don't understand, Father, that they will just be able to move on and get the things that they can and keep growing and wait until the time comes when they've got it. Father, I thank you that you're moving in your people. Father, you're opening their eyes and opening their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.